Thank everyone very much for coming, and I especially want to thank Seth and Emily for hosting all of us and bringing us together, both for physical warmth and more so for Torah warmth, for spirituality, for learning Torah together. And tonight I want to dedicate these words of Torah. It should be a schus for Refuah Shleima, for Moshe Ben Feiga. And especially I want to thank our dear neighbor Ron Strobel and Josh Strobel for coming and for giving us the permission to dedicate this shiur and this learning in memory of Ron's son, Josh's brother, Asher Dove of blessed memory, who passed away. How many years is it now?
Seven
years to this day. So this is the seventh Yahrzeit. And Asher was really a tremendous mensch. You know, if you wanted to know the definition of the word mensch, it would be Asher Strobel. He grew up here in the neighborhood. He was, he really blossomed in high school. He became one of the leaders on the basketball team. But as much as he was a leader in sports, and much more so, he was a real leader in bringing people together and bringing chevra together and uniting friends and circles. And that continued. When he came back from Israel, he learned at Netiv for a year, and then he went to Binghamton, and he was really a force within the community, within the Chabad, and he always was the type of person who could relate to anyone. He could relate to young kids, he could relate to the parents of his friends, and they all felt that he was their friend. Like, I remember one of the... He took my son and his brother, Joey, to a baseball game. And my son was, what must have been 7 years ago, so 10 years old. And Asher was 19, 20. So my son was 10, Asher was 20. And my son felt, you know, this is my friend Asher. You know, I hang out with Asher. There was a 10-year gap between them. And that type of... you know, special relationship that he had with my son, he would also have with the friends, with the parents of his friends. So, you know, Kenny Greif must have been, you know, 50 or 45. And he was, you know, Asher was his buddy. You know, if it was just Kenny home, Asher would come over to have some beers and hang out. And that was really a remarkable ability to bond with a 10-year-old and bond with a 45-year-old at age 20. And that really speaks to the real mensch that Asher was. Respected people, was kind to people, and bonded with people. And his loss was a tremendous shock and a tremendous loss. And so these words of Torah and a little bit of memory should be a schus li'ili nishmaso on this night. Maybe Ron or Josh would share a few words about Asher, then we'll go into the learning. I'm putting you on the spot. But
okay. I'll just say one thing that I'd like to... Seth here?
Yes, Seth's here.
I just want to say that Seth, I'm going to pay you a high compliment. You remind me a lot of Asher in the way that you bring people together and you encourage them to be better people and invite them into your home and make everybody feel special. Those were qualities that Asher had that were very innate and strong for him, and you certainly have them. And so thank you so much for honoring, for allowing us to honor his memory by being here tonight with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Asher Koch. So to share now some words of Torah, this week's Parsha is Parshas Bo. And in Parshat Bo, we have what Rashi tells us in the very beginning of the Torah is the first mitzvah of the Torah. Rashi says that the first mitzvah of the Torah is when God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim. What you see here outside, the moon that had disappeared and now it's reappearing, this is how a month begins. The ideal is not to have a set calendar. We now have a set, organized calendar. We know yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, and a month from now it'll be again the beginning of the month. That's not the ideal. The ideal Torah system is that it's totally fluid. We don't know when the month is going to begin. The witnesses have to go out. They have to look. And if a moon appears and they got it, they were able to see it, then they have to, you know, quickly make their way to Jerusalem, go to the temple, get three judges from the highest court, and those three judges can then vouch, yes, you're honest witnesses, we trust you, you saw the reappearing moon, we got the testimony before the sun set, okay, today is Rosh Chodesh, today is the beginning of the new month. So, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim. This new moon, this is the beginning of a month, and that's how months begin. And in fact, another idea within this verse is that in the Jewish system, every month is linked to the first month, to the month of Nisan. So really in the Torah, there's no name for the second month. We call it Iyar. But in the Torah, it's just called the second month. We call the month of Tishrei, Tishrei, and the Torah is just called the seventh month. Every month is linked to the month of Nisan, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chadashim, Rishonu Lachem L'Chadshei HaShana. This is the beginning of a month, and this first month is the first of all the months of the year. All the months are linked to this month. In fact, the very first Rashi in the Torah is where Rashi asks, why does the Torah begin with the account of creation? And the Ramban explains, it then goes on to talk about Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and how we get down to Egypt and we're slaves in Egypt. The Torah should have just started with this pasuk, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chadashim, because this is Mitzvah Rishona Shenitztavu Ba Yisrael. This is the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish nation. So my teacher of Moshe Wolfson, he raised the following amazing question. He said, if something is the first, that means it's the foundation. The first mitzvah is that when a moon reappears after it's missing for a day and a half, now a new month begins. That's the first mitzvah. It means all the other mitzvot of the Torah, all 613 mitzvot, are standing on this foundation. The foundation impacts the entire building. How could this be the foundation of all of the mitzvahs? This is the principle. Everything's built on how we start a month. If you'd say the first mitzvah is love other Jews, okay, we can understand that. You know, that's a foundation that impacts huge amounts of Judaism. Loving other Jews leads you to do kindness, leads you to sensitivity, leads you to be careful not to damage people. That's a foundation. We find that when the famous convert comes to Hillel and he says, convert me, but you have to teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one foot. So the Gemara says in the Masechet Shabbos, Hillel said, here's the whole Torah. What you don't like done to you, don't do to anybody else. The rest is commentary. Okay, that's a foundation for everything. There's a famous midrash where there's an argument. What's the key verse of the Torah? And Ben Nana says the key verse of the Torah is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hear Israel, God is our Lord, God is one. And that also is a reasonable foundation. The first principle is belief in the singularity of God, the uniqueness of God, the oneness of God, the ever-presence of God, the omniscience of God. God knows everything. He's in everywhere. That leads to everything else. The first of the Ten Commandments is the belief in God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But the first of the 613 commandments should be that when a moon reappears, that's when you start a month. That's the foundation. Everything is built on that. How, that just seems to be an incidental concept. No one ever said that the foundation, the first of the mitzvos, is don't mix a cow with a donkey when they're plowing. Don't plow with a cow and a donkey. Because that's just a mitzvah. But that's not certainly not the foundational mitzvah. Why would God, according to Rashi, choose the mitzvah of a new month? This is the foundational mitzvah. This is the foundation. Everything is built on this. How could that be? This is the foundational mitzvah. So how is it the foundation? Why is it the first mitzvah? So my teacher, Rabbi Wolfson, suggested the following amazing answer. There's a very powerful lesson being taught to us here. Mitzvos are not just about doing what God tells us to do, but it's also about how we do them. And the way in which a Jew is supposed to live is always going back to the first mitzvah, that the way a month begins is with the moon disappearing and then reappearing. A Jew is built that every second is a whole new world. And everything that was, that's already the past, that's gone. What will be hasn't yet been. And what matters is this moment. And this moment is a brand new moment. In Krakow, when we went on the Strobel family, very generously, has created a program for teens from our community, throughout the Englewood community, to learn how to become Jewish leaders in memory of Asher, of blessed memory, and then to actually go to Eastern Europe and go to Poland and learn a little bit of what the nation experienced through the Holocaust to strengthen their love of Israel, their love of the Jewish nation, their love of Judaism. So when we were in Krakow, in all those big, beautiful old synagogues, on the walls of the Ramah synagogue in Krakow and on the walls of the big synagogue in Krakow, they had painted this phrase, Ha'avar Ayin. I'm sorry, Ha'avar Ayin. Yes, the past is gone. It's nothing. Ha'atid Adayin. The future isn't yet. Ha'hoveh, the present, Keheref ayin is just the blink of an eye. So daga minayin. So where's there room for worry? The past is gone. The future hasn't been. The present is going to be finished in a moment. So where's there room for worry? And then the other thing they have painted on the walls is Adam doeg al damav. People worry about their money. They ain't no doeg al yamav. But they don't worry about their time. Yamav Einam Chosrim. The time doesn't come back. The Damav Einam Ozrim. But the money won't help. In other words, instead of worrying about money, because that really can't help us on many of the challenges that we deal with, we should worry about time and try to maximize time, because the time doesn't come back. Whereas the money can't help. So both of those phrases were on the walls of the shuls to communicate the idea of hischatshus, of renewal. That in Judaism, it's so important to say the past is gone, the future isn't yet. I can be a new person. I can be a totally new person. What's the name of a month in Hebrew? Chodesh. Chodesh is the word chadash, new, because there's a new appearance of the moon. It wasn't here, now it's new. And every day of the month goes back to that newness. We say today is Ayom Chavtes Yom Lachodesh. This is the 29th day of the Chodesh. This is the 20th day of the Chodesh. Why the 20th day of the Chodesh? Because every day is still Chodesh. It's still the new. Every day is to be all about the renewal. Everything starting all afresh. And that is the foundation of all the mitzvos. Because the way to fulfill mitzvos the right way is to start every day that it's brand new. It's a totally new world. It's a total new world, new experience, new mitzvos. Number one, when we start every day with the freshness, then there's a tremendous, tremendous excitement. And mitzvos aren't fulfilled just as a routine and as a habit, but they're fulfilled with a lot of passion. And maybe that's the connection to the second mitzvah. Every month is linked to Nisan. HaChodesh Hazelachem Rosh Chodesh, and Nisan's the first month. So the second month is just called second month. Tishrei is just called seventh month. Because what's happening in Nisan? In Nisan, the whole world is new. It's the springtime. Things are blossoming. Things are becoming new. And that's how every month has to be. We are to always link ourselves to renewal, to things that are new, things that are fresh. And Judaism should be totally fresh, totally new. There's a very powerful Gemara. The Gemara says in the Masechet Sukkah that the most beautiful structure that ever existed was the building of the temple, the Beit HaMikdash, that was constructed by wicked King Herod. King Herod was a horrible person. He wasn't Jewish. He was a slave who had, you know, killed out all the royal family and took over the whole Jewish kingdom. And he was a horrible man. He killed every rabbi he could get his hands on until there was one last rabbi, Bava ben Buta, and he blinded him. And then he came once to Bava ben Buta and he said to him, you know, curse the king. So Bava ben Buta, he couldn't see, he didn't know it was the king. He said, no, rabbis, we don't curse kings. He said, but look at what the king did. So Bava ben Buta said, you know what, a rabbi knows you always have to be smart. You never know who's listening. Even the birds can bring what a person will say. We don't curse the king. We only wish the king that he should have health and success, and we don't wish anything bad on anyone. So the king said, you're so loyal, and I'm the king. If I would have known, I never would have blinded all the rabbis. I never would have killed all the rabbis. What can I do to get atonement? So the rabbi said to him, you want to get atonement? You blinded rabbis. You blinded the eyes of the world. The Temple Mount is the eyes of the world. God is looking at the Temple Mount. Rebuild the Temple Mount. And so Herod renovated the Beit HaMikdash and he made it beautiful. He changed the whole mountain. He turned it into a plateau. He built the Kotel. He built the walls around the mountain. He expanded the temple much, much larger than what it was. The Talmud says anyone who never saw the temple of Herod has never seen beauty in his life. So the Talmud says, what was so special about Herod's temple? The Talmud says it was the floor. The floor of Herod's temple was the most amazing tile. It was a row of green and a row of white and a row of green and a row of white. And he said, I want to cover it all with gold. And the rabbi said, no, this is nicer. This is nicer. It's nicer. It should be rows of green and white. It looks like the waves. That's the Gemara. So Rav Huttner once, I heard this on a recording. Rav Huttner said, why couldn't they cover it with gold? Why was it so special to have green and white, to look like waves that are rising and foaming and coming down? So he said, you know, it's a crazy thing. Herod builds this big, beautiful temple. It must have taken him decades to build the temple. In fact, the historians say that it took 60 years to complete the construction of the renovation of the temple. It only stood for 10 years. 10 years later, the Romans destroyed it. And it took him years to build it. So Rav Huttner said, the rabbis knew that the Romans were coming and they were going to destroy the temple. And here Herod is putting so much into building such a beautiful temple. He's expanding it. He's making a kotel. He's expanding the Temple Mount. You know what? Why do it if it's not going to last? The answer is, look at the waves of an ocean. A wave, it rises so high. But you know, It's about to crash. It's not going to last. So why does it rise so high? But at least for this moment, it's going to be special. For this moment, it's going to rise high. And that was the lesson of Herod's temple. It may not last. It's going to be for 10 years. Then the Romans are coming. But for these 10 years, it's going to be a beautiful temple, the most beautiful that ever was. That's the way to appreciate Herod's temple. Leave it like this. Leave it like waves. Don't turn it covered with gold. Leave it like waves. The power of appreciating the newness of a moment. And even if it doesn't last, that doesn't matter. But this moment is so enormously special. And there are so many ramifications of living life with a sense that every moment is a new beginning and a new start. My teacher, Rabbi Wolfson, gave the following example. He said, there is a question in the Ridbaz, who was the chief rabbi of Egypt. What happens if a person's mother doesn't want him to go pray in a certain shul because they pray too long? And she'd rather that he pray with his father in a shul that's short. You know, they pray quickly and he comes home on time. Does he have to listen to his mother, or can he go to the shul that prays long? So the Ridbaz says, the same way the halach is, we don't listen to our parents if they tell us to go against the mitzvah of the Torah. If a parent says to violate Shabbat, we still have to keep Shabbat. We can't listen to our parents. The Ridbaz said, if the parent is saying pray very quickly, and it won't be an inspired prayer, and there's a chance to go somewhere else where it'll be a long and slow prayer, go somewhere else where it'll be the long and slow prayer. He doesn't have to listen to his mother. He can go to have the long prayer. The most important thing is a good, strong prayer. So let's say a person decides he's going to go to a synagogue where there's a long prayer. So it becomes hard. It gets into the summer, long prayers on Shabbos. It's hard. He comes home really late. He's tired. And in the morning it's late. It's hard. So he says, you know, he does it for a bunch of months. And he says, you know what? This week it's hard. I'll take a break. In a certain sense, he doesn't feel that every moment is brand new. Because if it's brand new, then this is the first time he's getting a chance to have a long prayer. He's not going to say, okay, now I'm going to take a break. He'd still keep going to the long prayer because it's brand new. Brand new means that there's a tremendous commitment. There's another idea if everything is brand new. If it's brand new, then the fact that I was terrible yesterday is completely irrelevant. Today is brand new. It's a whole new moment. And so what was yesterday is irrelevant. Now's a new beginning. Everything's starting all afresh. So what was yesterday? Now's a new beginning. There was a great Hasidic Rebbe, the Rebbe of Lechovich. He said, if a person does the worst aveira in the world, the worst sin, and he feels bad about it, and the next minute he can't get himself to pray screaming and excited and happy, he doesn't know what it is to be a chassid. A chassid can do the worst sin in the world, and the next minute, he's praying like Rabbi Akiva used to pray. Because the next minute is a whole new world. What was yesterday was yesterday. What was last second was last second. It's gone. Now there's a whole new world, and we can start totally afresh. And that sense of being totally new, that's the foundation. The first mitzvah is Achodesh Hazeh Lachem. The first mitzvah is, after it's gone, it starts again. And the whole month is Chodesh, it's all new. The whole month is about totally starting again. Rabbi Nachman writes, the verse says, Hayom im b'kolo tishmo, today, if you listen to his voice, says Rabbi Nachman, Ein lo la'adam ba'olamo elo osu hayom. A person only has this day, for osa asha, in this moment. And that's it. What was yesterday doesn't matter. What will be tomorrow doesn't matter. There's this moment. This moment. What do I have to do this moment? How do I serve God with great joy this moment? And that's it. All that was yesterday is irrelevant. Right now I have to go and do whatever I can. There's so many ramifications to that. It means that a person can't allow himself to be broken about failures that I had in the past. Because on the contrary, right now is a new moment. And since it's a new moment, I have to continue.
A person shouldn't be thinking, will I succeed? Won't I succeed? That's not up to me. It's not up to me whether I'll succeed or I won't succeed. That's up to Hashem. My job is to do. Right now, to do and to do and to do. And who knows where the success will come from. You know, the Gemara says that when a person learns, this is from Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter. The Gemara says, Yagata umatzasa tamid. If you work hard and you find, believe. So the Chedush HaRim says, what a strange phrase, Yagata, if you work hard. Matzasa, find, is not something that you work towards. Finding is something that, you know, you're walking down the street, so when you find something, you can't work to find things. It's out of the blue. The answer is you work. And when you're working in what you're working, I may not be succeeding in what I'm working. And then God shows me, I find something else. I don't know where the success is going to come from. The reason why I found it is because I was working here, because I was working on one thing and trying so hard. So God suddenly shows me, oh, now you'll find something. He'll give you a success. Our goal is to work. We don't know where the success is going to come from. It's going to be a find anyway. So we just should work and we just should focus and try to do the right things. Forget about whatever failures we had in the past, whether we'll succeed or we won't succeed. That's not up to us. It's up to God. Our job is to work and to work, and who knows where the success comes. You know, the Gemara tells us about Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, the Gemara in Yevamos, Rabbi Akiva says, the verse says, Baboker zrazaracha, in the morning plant your seed, v'la'erev al tanach yodecha, and in the evening don't let go. Keep on going. So Rabbi Akiva says, imeimata talmidim b'bachusecha, if you taught lots of students when you were young, don't stop. Teach students when you get older. Keep teaching. Don't stop. So think about Rabbi Akiva, right? He's the one who says this. He had 24,000 students. It's amazing what he put into these 24,000 students. He spent decades creating these 24,000 students. And they knew everything. Whatever he knew, he had given to them. The entire oral Torah. And he lost all 24,000 students in 3 weeks. 3 weeks, from Pesach to Lag BaOmer. He lost all of his students. He lost all 24,000. He was shattered. What did he do? He then went to the south, and he kept on teaching with five students. But think about who those five students are. Look at what he accomplished with those five students. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lai, Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is all over the Mishnayos. Stam Mishnah. If you have a Mishnah without somebody being behind it, without a name, it's Rabbi Meir. The Ari HaKadosh says Rabbi Akiva was the word Akiva is from the word Akev, heel. He came from the heel of Adam HaRishon. His soul was in the heel of Adam HaRishon, then it came out, it was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Meir, the word Meir, what does the word Meir mean? Light. Illuminating. He came from the light of Adam HaRishon. The Gemara says the light of Adam HaRishon was so bright, it would make the sun dim. So look at Rabbi Akiva. He didn't give up after losing 24,000 students. He went on to keep teaching. And he had a Rebbe Meir who had the light of Adam HaRishon, who could dim the light of the sun. The Gemara says that in the Torah of Rebbe Meir, he felt that when it talks about Adam HaRishon being clothed in skin, he wouldn't read it as skin with an ayin, but with an aleph, katnot or, with light. That Adam HaRishon was radiating light. What was his other student? Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai produces the Zohar. The Zohar says that Rabbi Abba said, had Hashem just given us, had not given us the Torah at Sinai, but just told us, here's Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, listen to the secrets that he'll give you, the whole world would have been worth creating just for that. The Gemara says about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai that he was the best of what Rabbi Akiva was. If you take all of Rabbi Akiva and take the best part of Rabbi Akiva out, you get Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. The Zohar says that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai created the Zohar. With his Zohar, we will exit exile with mercy and without any suffering. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai said, I guarantee the Torah can't be forgotten from the Jewish people. That was because Rabbi Akiva continued to teach. Then you have Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai. The Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Lai was so pious that he was more, his generation was more virtuous even than Moshe Rabbeinu. Because in his generation they were very poor and all the students would gather under one talus to learn from their teacher. He had greater merits even than the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he had Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, the Gemara says about him, had a heart that was open as big as the opening of the temple. And then Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara says, Halacha is always like him. These were the students of Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because he kept on going after he lost 24,000 students. It wasn't up to success, failure. What was, what will be, I don't know. But I need to keep on going, keep on teaching, and who knows what's going to be. You find that even in terms of the birth of Mashiach. The Gemara tells us there in Masechet Yevamos that Boaz had 60 children. 30 sons and 30 daughters. And they all died in his lifetime. And he lost everything. And at the end of his lifetime, he was already in his 80s. Ruth comes into his field. He's already in his 80s. And he had lost 60 children in his lifetime. And he impregnates Ruth. He didn't give up. He kept on going. And out of that comes, obviously, David HaMelech, King David, and eventually Mashiach. Mashiach comes from not giving up and just keeping on going. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos that the verse says in Isaiah, in Yeshayo, V'ayah emunas yitecha chosen Yeshua's chachma v'das, and that verse is a reference to the six orders of Mishnah. Emunas, faith, is a reference to Zra'im, to the order of agriculture. Says the Gemara, why? Shemamin b'borei olam v'zorea, that he believes in the Creator and he plants. Says the Gra, everything in life is planting. And everything that we're doing is to believe in God and to plant. A farmer plants, but he doesn't know if it's going to rain. He doesn't know if it's going to be too hot and the plants will then die because of the heat. He doesn't know, but he plants. That's all of life. We plant, we put in seeds. We don't know what it's going to be, whether it will succeed, it won't succeed. We can't think about the past. We just have Hayom, today, this moment, to focus on this moment, to try to serve God in this moment, to maximize this moment. And every moment we can accomplish enormous amounts, because every second it's hischadshus, it's renewal. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim. The first mitzvah is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, of a totally new beginning. That's how the Jewish people are built. We're built on beginning and beginning and beginning. What was, was. What will be, who knows? Right now, this is what I have to do. I have to do it and try my best. Yeah, Eric.
I might be mistaken, but I think Rabbi also taught us a couple of years ago about the pasuk Machto Lo Lefa Yaakov.
Right.
Mishkan HaSefer. Did you say it's like, how can be a tent? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Also, he said every day.
Mm-hmm. Rav Cook in Ola Triya speaks about that. Right. That there is actually a balance between Ohalecha, that you have a certain amount that's founded, and then Mishkan Osecha, I'm sorry, the opposite. Mishkan, there's a certain amount that's settled, and then Ohalecha, the tent, you have to always be moving and progressing and going further, exactly. But the key idea of Rosh Chodesh, and of this week's, one of the lessons of this week's Parsha, is to be people of Chodesh, of Hischadshus, of renewal. Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter quotes a very scary letter from Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan was the student of Rabbi Nachman. The reason why we have Torah of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov was because of his student, Rabbi Nassan Sternhertz. Rabbi Nassan dedicated his life to going to Rabbi Nachman, to getting Divrei Torah from Rabbi Nachman, writing the Divrei Torah, and it was so hard. His father-in-law was angry that he was doing it. He cut him off financially. He had, you know, lost his job. And he total dedication to his teacher, Rabbi Nachman. So there are letters of Rabbi Nassan called Alam Latrufa. And again, the way people lived back in 1831 in Ukraine was really, really harsh, really difficult. So it's a difficult letter. But wow, the level of Rabbi Nassim. I'm going to read this letter. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter quotes it. This is from the fourth day of Parshas Vayechi of 1831. My beloved, my son, I love you. I was waiting, hoping to see you, your letter to me. My eyes all day get tired because I keep waiting for your letter. It's been days since I got a letter from you. And then yesterday I was in the yeshiva learning and they said, a letter came from your son. I was happy as if I had all the wealth of the world. I ran home and I opened up the letter and I stood and now I'm trembling. I didn't know the horrible news about your father-in-law that he passed away. He was a tzaddik in all of his ways. And I certainly, even though I'm so far from you, understand the enormous pain and confusion that you feel. Apparently there was a plague and people were dying all over. He said, but you should also realize that we feel tremendous confusion and pain because I'm sure I've already told you what was in our house, that Reb Shmuel unfortunately passed away. God should save us. And now there's the last 2 weeks, there's this fire that's burning so many holy people passing away in these few days, in 2 weeks. I hope God has compassion and tells the angel of death to stop. See my son and be aware, whatever happens to a person in his life, it's all empty, this life. Everything's for the good. Don't you know, my son, see that it says in Kohelet, Havel Havalim Amar Kohelet HaKol Havel. Kohelet says 7 times, it's empty, it's a waste, it's nothing. So if Kohelet, Shlomo HaMelech, who has a temple, says 7 times, everything is empty, what are we going to say? Thousands and millions and billions of times, it's all empty. See, my son, what happens to a person throughout his life. So many things happen to our forefathers, as you know in the books. So many plagues and wars, unfortunately, went through so many generations. Sometimes in this country, sometimes that country. It's been so difficult. And all of this is a test. For the sake of God, for the sake of God, we need to strengthen ourselves and beg God, make it all good. Make God show that it should be for life and not for death. We should realize that whatever, we have to hope and pray that whatever overcomes us, it should hopefully help us to get closer to God and to remember the ultimate truth. Everything physical is nothing. It's passing. It's meaningless. My beloved, my son, I have so many things I want to tell you, but I feel like there's a mountain between us. So here I'm telling you one most important thing. For the sake of God, be strong and make yourself strong. And remember your Creator at every moment, whether He's doing good for you or it's the opposite, heaven forbid, and it should never happen. Fulfill what the verse says. I'll praise God when it's good. I'll praise God when it's bad. All the things that happen are ultimately for the good. That we will see in the world to come. And that's where Rabbi Nachman teaches us in Torah number 4. And see my son. Look, an amazing kindness that God has done for us. He gave us the antidote to all of our human pain because He's informed us these awesome Toros. The Toros of Rabbi Nachman that no ear has ever heard. These Toros give us such life that even in these difficult times we feel life. And therefore, all of our earlier generations, the tzaddikim and the prophets, they all prophesied that there will be very difficult times. These are the times that are happening. For the sake of God, let's make ourselves strong. Let's strengthen each other. Let's not forget at any moment what was in the world and who is keeping the world going. We have to trust God. Grab, eat, my son. Even now, you can learn a little Torah. You can do another mitzvah. You can pray. You can go alone into the forest and just talk to God as much as you want. Even now, these are days, and these are going to be precious days. These are days of which the verse says, Hayom, on this day, in Bekolo Sishmo, if you listen to my voice, Hayom Daika, today, don't worry about what was, what will be. Just grab the day, and it'll be good, and you'll have hopefully lengthy days and many years. These are the words of your father who's riding in a rush and hoping to see the salvation of God soon, Nassan of Breslov. So what Rabbi Nassan is trying to convey to his son in a very, very difficult period when there was a plague and unfortunately many people were passing away. The key point in this letter was this line. These days are also days. Even when things are terrible, this is wrong and that's wrong. But grab the day. Chatof echol, chatof echol. There's things to do. Just do. Do. Grab today. Do today. And who knows? Who knows how much good will come from this day? Every day is new. And we can grab every day and try to do things every day and try to accomplish more and more. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter gives a great parable. I'm sure I've quoted it before because it made such an impression on me. He said somebody told him a joke that two mice fell into a big bin of milk and they're drowning because they don't know how to swim. So one mouse is churning with his legs, going crazy and crazy and crazy, and the other mouse is churning with his legs, churning with his legs. So one mouse says to the other, do you know how to swim? He says, no, I don't know how to swim. Do you know how to swim? I don't know how to swim. He said, it's all this milk, I'm giving up. So he gives up, and unfortunately he gives up, he drowns. The other mouse says, I don't know how to swim, but I'm not going to give up. I can keep moving. So he keeps moving and moving and moving. And he climbs out of the bin because he was churning his feet so much, he turned all the milk into cheese. So he was able to climb from the cheese right out of the bin, and he was able to come out. So Rav Yaakov Meir Schechter says, that's what life's all about. We have to be the mouse that's just churning. I don't know if it's succeeding, it's not succeeding. I don't know how to swim. The milk is here, but I'm going to keep moving and moving and moving. Today's a new day. Today is a new beginning. I have to start again and again and keep going and going. And by going and going, who knows, that can turn this milk into cheese, and I can float on the cheese, climb out of the cheese, and be able to get to the next place. Hayom in Bekolo Sishmo. Today, if we listen to his voice, Judaism is built on this first mitzvah, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. It wasn't built on the mitzvah of loving Jews. It wasn't built on the mitzvah of faith in God. The first mitzvah was the new moon, to always restart and to grab every new beginning and to do. And who knows what it'll be. But we have to do and try to accomplish as much as we can. And Bezrat Hashem, hopefully through renewal and starting new things, Or Chadash Al Tzion Ta'ir, the Almighty will shine a new light on Zion, V'nizke Chulanu Mehera La'oro, and we'll merit to get that light. Thank you so much. We can daven Maariv.